I was many hundred miles away from home and friends and had been very ill for many weeks. I was entirely among strangers, and my only attendant, though of a kindly disposition, knew nothing whatever of the duties of the sick room. Hence, I had none of the many delicate attentions that keep up an individual's failing health. I had taken no nourishment of any kind for nearly 3 weeks, scarcely even water, and was greatly reduced in both flesh and strength, and consciousness seemed at times to wholly desert me. I had an unutterable longing for the presence of my dear distant ones, for the gentle touch of beloved hands, and whispered words of love and courage. But they never came. They could not. Responsible duties that, I felt, must not be neglected, kept those dear ones much of the time in distant scenes, and I would not recall them. I lay in a large, comfortable room on the second floor of a house in Kentville. The bed stood in a recess at one end of the apartment, and from this recess a large stained-glass window opened upon the veranda fronting on the street. During much of my illness, I lay with my face to this window and my back to the room, and I remember thinking how easy it would be to pass through the window to the veranda, if one so desired. When the longing for the loved distant faces and voices became more than I could bear, I prayed that the dear Christ would help me to realize His blessed presence, and that, since the beloved ones of earth could not minister to me, I might feel the influence of the other dear ones who are all ministering spirits. Especially did I ask to be sustained, should I indeed be called to pass through the dark waters alone? It was no idle prayer, and the response came swiftly and speedily. All anxieties and cares slipped away from me as a worn-out garment, and peace, Christ's peace, enfolded me. I was willing to wait God's time for the coming of those so near to me, and said to myself more than once, "If not here, it will be there. There is no fear of disappointment there."
In those wonderful days of agonized suffering and great peace,
I felt that I had truly found, as never before, the refuge of the everlasting arms.
They lifted me, they upbore me, they enfolded me, and I rested in them as a tired child upon its mother's bosom.
One morning, dark and cold and stormy, after a day and night of intense suffering, I seemed to be standing on the floor by the bed in front of the stained glass window. Someone was standing by me, and when I looked up, I saw it was my husband's favorite brother who crossed the flood many years ago. "My dear brother Frank," I cried out joyously, "how good of you to come." "It was a great joy to me that I could do so, dear little sister," he said gently. "Shall we go now?" And he drew me toward the window. I turned my head and looked back into the room, and somehow I felt I was about to leave forever. It was in its usual good order, a cheery, pretty room. The attendant sat by the stove at the farther end, comfortably reading a newspaper, and on the bed, turned toward the window, lay a white, still form with the shadow of a smile on the poor, worn face.
My brother drew me gently, and I yielded, passing with him through the window, out on the veranda,
and from thence, in some unaccountable way, down to the street. There I paused and said earnestly, "Oh, I cannot leave Will and our dear boy." "They are not here, dear, but hundreds of miles away," he answered. "Yes, I know, but they will be here. Oh, Frank, they will need me. Let me stay," I pleaded.
"Would it not be better if I brought you back a little later, after they come?" he said with a kind smile.
"Would you surely do so?" I asked.
"Most certainly, if you desire it."
"You are worn out with the..."